This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, good evening, everyone. It is not Peter Rosenberg. It's Ty Butler. And there's a lot of pressure because, you know, built into that imaging is Peter calling himself one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot to live up to.
And he has built you up all day.
I know.
This is... Godspeed. That's all I'll say.
Godspeed.
And I want to lift up the curtain here because that's what I do.
Let's do it.
Lift it up and show it to me. Earlier this week, there was a day where I forget what the circumstance was, but or maybe it was last week, and someone said, do you want Anthony to do ENN? And I haven't heard Anthony broadcast yet. And, you know, everyone kind of moves into their roles at the station. I said, no, I'll do it this time because I haven't heard Anthony yet. And I, not that I have any doubt in Anthony, but I also have great respect for ENN. And I figured his time will come. He's still new to the K show. And then when the opportunity came up for Ty, I said, you know, Ty's been around for a while and I've heard his broadcasting and I think it's time. And Anthony, I hope one day, if you're interested, that your time will come. And today, it's Ty's moment. And we're all just living in it, Ty.
Well, I appreciate that. I do got to say, it almost didn't happen because we did need your approval. The text message.
And that was a group text that he sat on for about 4 hours.
It's a group text that he sat on for 4 hours and just so happened to answer as I was driving. So I got excited when I saw him, you know, approve of it, inches away from hitting the car in front of me. Should never be texting and driving.
Nope,
so this opportunity almost, you know, escaped itself. So we'll start the way that we always do by saying good evening to the greatest broadcaster on planet Earth, as he said himself, to Peter.
Andrew truly loathes himself on a level that I almost respect.
And it takes two to tango. Carlin, what's going on, my man? Talk to me nice.
I don't know if you can tell. I think I just had a seizure during that call.
And since we've been talking about Andrew, let's hear from Andrew. Andrew, what's going on, brother?
The big clubs hover, stars all look to depart.
It's amazing. So in case you're just tuning in, we randomly stumbled upon a singing competition between Andrew and Don. It's like the 98.7 ESPN version of Versus. And we ran it up the poll on Twitter. So if you go to Twitter, at TMKS ESPN, first you should go to at Ty B. Butler and follow him on Twitter and Instagram. But if you go to Twitter, we asked who has the better singing voice. So let me first start by playing, you know, Andrew's version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
You better go all out. You better really try. You better not black out. I'm telling you why. Jobby's laws are coming to town. Jobby's laws are coming to town. Jobby's laws are coming to town.
We're still trying to figure out who in Zach is coming to town.
Javi's laws.
Javi's laws.
I don't know.
I thought he said Javi's balls, which would have been
No.
Ty working blue out the gate.
Right. Wow.
Blue chew. So let's go to Don, who he's going up against.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
So both Don and Andrew are still on the ballot for another 24 minutes. You can head to TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Right now, in the lead, Andrew at 53%, Don coming in at 47%.
Oh, so it's closing.
Oh my God.
He's narrowing the gap again.
It's close. We would all agree, though.
I love these people.
Andrew does indeed have the better singing voice, but Don, without question, would be the better performer. Yes. There's a lot more confidence.
Agreed.
By the way,
Don is going to give you everything he's got on that stage for 3 hours and 28 minutes.
By the way, I just pulled up the TV view of the show.
On TV.
Ty, are you wearing like a mock neck?
No, this is a turtleneck. Got to cover up the hippies.
Yo, Ty, tie with the facial hair and the mock neck. It looks like a 70s soul R&B cover has crept into ENN.
That's a nice shot by Yes, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Can we get the guns?
Look,
looking a little muscular.
Yeah, I just turned it on. You look good.
Yeah, man. This is a different look for... At no point has anyone confused anyone with a 70s soul singer on this program until today. And also, Ty is off to a true Rosenberg-like start in ENN. 6'12", no stories.
Yes.
I love it.
Anthony is screaming in my ear. For the first time all show, we have to get to sports stories. So let's
do it. Okay, here we go.
Let's do it. So in case you missed it, on ESPN.com, Rich Cimini and Jonah Renan chronicled what the disaster has been for the last decade when talking about both the New York Jets and the New York Giants. In 2011, that was the last time these two teams were both relevant at the same time. If you remember, it's ironically enough, Christmas Eve, these two teams played, both with a chance to go to the playoffs. The 99-yard touchdown for Victor Cruz sent the Giants on their Super Bowl run. The Jets missed the playoffs. But since then, guess which two teams in the NFL have the worst record in all of football?
The Cleveland Browns. And the Washington football team.
No, it would be the New York Jets and New York Giants. And that's actually since 2016. These two teams have combined to go 43-113. Rich Cimini joined KJM, and he was asked why the Jets have struggled in the last decade.
For the last 10 years, it's just been a series of missteps by ownership in terms of hiring coaches and GMs that were not in lockstep. I mean, you can't succeed in the NFL unless those two pieces are together and on the same page. Starting when they fired Mike Tannenbaum and they brought in John Itzig and they paired him with Rex Ryan, it was a disaster. And from that point on, it's like the Jets are trying to play eHarmony in the dating game, and it just keep on matching the wrong people together. And it just flows down from there, and you know, to roster, to personnel decisions. And I think that's the biggest reason why they haven't done anything in a decade.
So I stumbled upon what is the most incredible stat I've ever seen. It is the point differential since 2011 for both the Jets and the Giants. The Giants have been outscored by 491 points in the last decade, which we all know is bad. Like, to get outscored by that many. If I were to ask you, Peter, how many points do you think the Jets have been outscored by since 2011, the last 10 years? What's the number you would throw out there?
Oh, my God.
Just a random. I said the Giants at 491, so that's your reference point. What would you say where would you say the Jets are?
491. Well, the Jets have had more bad years in there, and when they're bad, they're worse. To me, it's when the Jets are bad, they are a worse team than the Giants. I'll put the Jets at 583.
All right, Chris?
I would say the Jets have been outscored. You know what? This is how bad it's been for the Giants. I'm going to say they've been actually outscored by less.
The Jets?
I'm going to go 451.
The Jets, since 2011, brace yourself, fans, have been outscored by 1,023 points.
Oh my God! I should have done the prices right. Go one more than Peter.
1,020. That sounds unreal. It sounds unheard of.
It sounds impossible, especially given that means it's double the Giants, who have also stunk during that time.
Like, this is, if you're doing stand-up comedy, you're making fun of Jet fans, that's the number you throw out there, right? The Jets have been outscored by 1,000 points in the last 10 years. It's actually 1,023 points.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It's impressive.
But fast forward to today, we received news that the head coach of the team, Robert Saleh, has tested positive for COVID after experiencing symptoms. So if he can't be cleared by Sunday, it will be Titans coach Ron Middleton who will be on the sidelines for the Jets. Saleh, along with 15 other Jet players, are in protocol, including cornerback Michael Carter, Elijah Moore, and Elijah Vera Tucker.
15.
15 is the number.
Wow.
Big game on Sunday. Jets coming at 3-11. Jags coming at 2-12. So NBC, I hear, is considering flexing this game.
Are we going to lose that game during the day? We're going to have to stay. You know, you're going to have to go stay up late.
Stay up late to watch it. If you're a Jet fan, you're now 4 in the draft. Are you rooting for this team to lose? The Jags are 1. 2 are the Lions. 3 are the Texans. 4 are the Jets. Are you rooting? Because this is a big game as far as draft positioning is concerned.
Can we also just say real quick before we get into that even, shout out to my boy Ron Middleton, who I didn't even know was here. You know, he was a perfectly suitable tight end for the Washington football team from 1990 to 1993, baby.
Chris Middleton's brother.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
No. Okay, sorry. What was the question?
Would you be, if you're a Jet fan, you're 3-11 right now, you're fourth in the draft, the Jags come in number one at 2-12, are you rooting for them to lose this game to improve their stock?
I actually have a strong take on this. I feel strong. I'm going to go Don LaGreca here. If you're the Giants, you want to lose everything imaginable. There's nothing to gain from the quarterbacks they have playing. There's nothing to learn about this team. They stink, and they're not even playing with a quarterback who's their quarterback. However, if you are the Jets, you would love to end this season on a positive note for Zach Wilson. And it's not like you're trying to chase your franchise quarterback in next year's draft, of which there's not really one anyway, supposedly. So what are you chasing so badly in next year's draft that it's not worth having Zach Wilson get valuable experience and win games against bad teams that he should win? And by the way, a little bonus to beat Trevor Lawrence. No? Chris, you with me or not?
I think they have to win games. I think they have to learn how to win games. I think he has to learn how to win games. I absolutely think the Jets should be trying to win games.
Right.
This is not, last year, it was, we knew what it was. Tank. This, no. Got to win games.
Yeah. It's every, you know, I thought Saleh made a good point the other day. It might have just been coach speak, but when we asked him about the second half that Zach had and the disappointments of it, Chris, I sort of appreciated when he said, hey, it wasn't the outcome we wanted, but whether it was the right outcome or the wrong outcome, just him having the ball in his hands with NFL games on the line, that makes a difference. That matters.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I'd like to see him do a little bit more than have, what, four or five plays doing it. But
Between two drives. That's right. But yeah. You hope that to the point of the question, though, all of it's valuable. We all know preseason means nothing. Like, preseason in the NFL is garbage. You are not improving, at least ostensibly, as a football player. But these games in the regular season, even when teams are out of it, they matter. It's full speed. Everything counts. It's all part of your stats. It's all part of bonuses. Everyone's playing for something in these games. So you can't think about what Zach Wilson's going to show you next August in three games or two games as it is now. You have to think about what Zach Wilson can show you in real speed football games, and that's what he can do over the next few weeks.
And I want him feeling better going into the offseason because
it's been a
long year.
Yeah, and the last thing you want is to leave this season knowing nothing about the quarterback because you got three other quarterbacks who've been on the roster, Josh Johnson, Mike White, and Joe Flacco, who in all of their games have looked better than Zach Wilson, who you could argue has been the worst starting quarterback in all of football. So to you guys' point, definitely got to end this season strong. Unfortunately, we do have more COVID postponements. The NBA has announced that tonight's Raptors-Bulls game and tomorrow's Nets-Trailblazers games have been postponed as Brooklyn and Toronto struck by the COVID positive tests. They do not have the eight players available for these games. This is going to be the third straight Nets game that's been postponed. Sunday against the Nuggets, last night's game against your Wizards, Peter. And then, you know, that's...
I'm a Celtics fan. Come on. I like the Wizards. They're my people. But they're not my team.
But you say you're going to the Christmas Day game in LA.
I was planning on it.
I don't know, man. The Nets haven't played since last week.
Well, I have an 8 o'clock reservation at Katsuya, so they better figure this thing out.
The NBA has told teams that shifting game times is a possibility for the five-game slate if the COVID-related issues continue to force some lineup changes. The Knicks... did welcome back Obi Toppin. He has cleared health and safety protocol, so he'll be able to play tomorrow against Peter's Washington Wizards.
Again, not my team, but yes, keep going.
Speaking of your team, Joe Johnson, how about that? Signing a 10-day contract with the Boston Celtics.
Wait. He's 54 years old.
Wait, hold on. Which Joe Johnson?
Joe Johnson.
Yeah, Joe Johnson.
That Joe Johnson.
Wait, the one who was already on the Celtics way back in the day?
Yes, last he played was 2018.
He played for Outback, didn't he?
Guess what, though? Guess when he last played for the Celtics? I was at Maryland, 2002.
So it comes full circle.
Wow!
Woj announcing today that Joe Johnson is returning to the NBA after a three-year absence at the age of 40.
And by the way, this just in, this is also very exciting. You know who else the Celtics just signed?
Who's that?
Garrett Gilbert. This is big.
So he goes from starting on Tuesday Night Football to playing for the Celtics.
He's playing for the Celtics now. For the record, I heard you, Chris, go Katsuya?
Yeah, I was thinking of Kat suing ya.
You've never been to Katsuya?
I
It's the delicious sort of Asian fusion place right outside of Staples Center, or as of Christmas Day, Crypto.com Center.
I saw they were asking Mello about his favorite Staples Center memories, like they're ripping the building down.
Right.
What are we doing?
Mello got ejected last
night. I mean, listen, I know people like Michael made this point. Everyone's like, I can't believe it's not the Staples Center. Guys, it's named after Staples. It's a store that sells office supplies, okay? Crypto.com is not somehow like worse. I think the problem with crypto, honestly, guys, is the subconscious word crip built in there. Like Tales from the Crypt. I guess that word has other meanings also if you were in the Los Angeles area in particular. But I do think that when people think like Tales from the Crypt, crypto and cryptic, it's all a negative word. Maybe that's the thing that's weird about it for people. But they're not tearing down the building. It's the same. But by the way, fans are still
creepy.
It sounds a little creepy. And let's be real. For years, fans are going to keep calling it the Staples Center.
I think that's what it is. What it is, though, you're so used to the Staples Center, it has such a nice ring to it.
And I'll tell you this,
it did. It
Crypto.com just feels, you know, awkward to say.
It does.
Crypto.com Arena. Like, who says that?
Here's the other thing: Staples, like my favorite store ever to go into.
Really?
Why is that?
That's right. I can't get enough supplies.
You
think I'm kidding? You can drop me off at a Staples like a 10-year-old at a playground. I'm good all day.
You're a big poster board guy.
For play by play, you got to make your charts.
By the way, this is
crafts section.
This is very big. First of all, I want to drop of I can't get enough supplies from Chris, and also this is big. The great Willie Wilson has weighed in.
Oh, Willie! Oh, wow.
With 11 minutes left in the vote between Andrew and Don, he said, I heard Andrew's podcast song, and I love his podcast. Don has really improved his voice and definitely is a better singer than Andrew.
Definitely.
Yeah, Willie, here's the thing. He knows that he's not going to have to face Andrew on stage next year, but he might have to face Don.
Willie is a great guy.
Yeah.
Quality human being. But I'm sorry. Don is a phenomenal performer. But I literally don't think he sings. I think he just gets his voice louder and it has a melody to it. But Andrew is singing. You know what, Ty? You'll remember this. Do you remember the Big Pun seminal album, Capital Punishment?
Absolutely.
And do you remember the Rain interlude?
Yes, I do remember.
When Pun goes, and though the rain is falling down, I know the sun will wash away.
You remember that's kind of loud and irritating.
Yeah, I remember it.
and Dead Prez, they're on the song and they're like, you could do it. You could sing. And he's like, no. They're like, you can do it. Trust me. And then Pun sings. That's the thing. Andrew's singing.
He sounds timid, though.
But so does Pun. So does Pun on that interlude, right? But they're singing. Don isn't timid. I give him all the credit in the world. The man dressed up as an eagle on heroin and pranced around like an absolute maniac. There's nothing he wouldn't do. He has no... Andrew Gunling was scared to ask his friend yesterday to record vocals for his podcast.
They're the greatest team in the world!
They're very different people, but that's not what we're grading. We're grading singing. Please, Anthony, bring up the beautiful sounds one more time of Andrew Gunlin letting those vocal cords do what they do.
You better go all out. You better really try. You better not black out. I'm telling you why.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
These laws are coming to town. These laws are coming to town. These laws are coming to town.
It's a mashup.
You know what's happening here, though, right? Like, if we had the opportunity to combine Don's confidence with Andrew's singing abilities, I mean, it's a perfect song.
Oh, my God. That would be something. You're talking, well, see what you're saying there, Ty. Now you're talking about a generational talent. You're talking about a Michael Jackson. You're talking about a Barbra Streisand. You're talking about an Aretha Franklin.
Yes,
you're talking
Aretha.
About a generational talent. So that's very rare.
Now, while Andrew's singing, because you guys discussed this earlier, like I would love to see how he's actually going about like holding the microphone. Is he double fisting? Like, you know how the singers,
how
when they get.
Is?
Yeah, how Andrew's doing.
No, I only picture Andrew in the studio.
That's
the only way I can picture him right now.
I'm telling you, children.
My perfect just feeling of what this looks like is Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga in A Star is Born. Don is Bradley Cooper.
No, I'm telling you.
Gunling is Lady Gaga.
I'm telling you, the part that I keep thinking about is in the We Are the World recording. This comes out every once in a while.
Tell me that's
you
not Gunling coming out.
You better go all out. You better really try. You better not.
I see it so much differently than you guys.
So I'm picturing the We Are the World session where Michael sings his part and then Huey Lewis jumps on. And Huey, I love Huey Lewis. Don, have you ever seen this footage? Chris, you ever seen this footage?
I have seen this footage, yeah.
Huey misses the note so badly, and the look of disgust from Michael. That's what I'm picturing when I picture Andrew in the studio.
I see it so much differently.
Are you picturing?
I see, you know how when singers are really into what they're doing, they like take the second hand and grab it, and they start like... moving it toward their mouth. I don't want to do the gesture because on TV, it'll look weird. You get on one knee. I picture that's what Andrew's doing.
Well, that's quite an image you've given us of him on one knee gesturing his hand towards his mouth. What else do you have there, Ty?
We got some college football news. Not good. So a new college football playoff policy has it so that we could see forfeits actually decide the national title game. There's some flexibility as far as January 10th being that game being moved to January 14th. But here are the rules. If one team is able to play in the title game and the other can't because of COVID-19 and the game can't be rescheduled, the team that can't play will forfeit and its opponent will be declared the national champion. If both teams can't play on either the original or rescheduled date, the game will be declared a no contest, and the college football national championship will be vacated for
God,
the season.
I'm praying. Listen, I don't want COVID to harm anyone else.
No, but
if there's going to be one cancellation,
this is me from yesterday wanting to see Armageddon.
Yes, if we could get one COVID cancellation. Nothing would perfectly sum up how much I hate college football like having them just call it a tie. That would be mage. Because they're unable to move it based on all the different moving pieces of the championship game?
I think they can move it like 4 days.
Yeah, from the,
and that's it.
The 10th through the 14th, that's
after
the
that,
window.
After that, that's it.
That's it.
So you're rooting for this to happen.
We're going
to
call
for us to go through an entire season, get to the playoffs, and now we can't play it because we're just going to forfeit these games.
And not only that, but in the semifinal, if you're a team that can't play, it didn't sound like there's any rescheduling. It's no.
Yeah, there's no flexibility in the semifinals. It's only for the national championship
game. Okay, you had a few games there. By the way, that would... I mean, listen, it wouldn't. I didn't watch more than 5 minutes of college football all year, so no championship game to me would just be right in line with my entire season. But, wow. I mean, listen, I guess there are just things that get in the way of these things, so many logistical pieces. You know, first of all, we have to have 16 or 17 different ESPN broadcasts alone for the national championship, right? You know, and then you have all the old rich alumni. They've planned their trips already. You know, Alabama, if you're an Alabama alum, you plan this in August. You've already been sitting on this for 6 months, so... we'll see. That would be unfortunate for many people.
And lastly, let's just end it here. Aaron Boone spoke to the media today. Buck Showalter, who was on this show with you guys a couple of days ago.
Sure he was.
Was hired by the Mets. Aaron Boone was asked if he has spoken to Buck Showalter and his thoughts on the Mets bringing him in to be their manager.
I texted him yesterday, just congrats and welcome back and all that. But I have not spoken to him. I'm sure at some point over the winter we'll catch up at some point. He's somebody that, you know, I talk to every now and then already. But, you know, obviously I think the Mets got a really good one in Buck and excited to see him back.
Excited to see him back.
I'll tell you what. you can't get like too much better. In my opinion, I don't know them intimately. Okay, like, I haven't spent time at their house like Michael probably has. I can't shout out Buck's grandchildren, but I can tell you that Aaron Boone and Buck Showalter are as quality seeming a couple of guys as you could have. Like, as far as just having good dudes leading those teams, I don't know what that equals in terms of championships. I don't know what it equals in terms of satisfied fans, but we got a couple quality managers in this town. Now, Buck is not nearly as media disciplined as Aaron is, which is why I love him. Like, you really get the sense that Buck could say anything at any time. I don't mean like offensive. I just mean like give away a little too much information, whereas Aaron plays it very straight. But man, two quality managers in this town.
Good people.
And that'll
we'll
do it for A&N.
Quality manager. We'll see about
it. That'll do it for A&N, guys.
I can't get enough supplies.
Yeah, for sure.
Gotta love it.
I'll tell you what. You know what Ty did right there?
What's that?
He got them words.
Got them words in.
Got them words.
Got a lot to say.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.